Welcome to Dr. Zoe Today, where the topics are always real, raw, and relevant about love, sex, and relationships. Warning, do not listen to this show if you are sensitive to controversial issues or easily offended. Dr. Zoe and her guests are not to be held liable for any shock, pissing of the pants, sudden desire of change, or uncontrollable laughter. Now, here's your host, Dr. Zoe.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Dr. Zoe Today. I am so excited about this first season we had. We had some amazing guests, and tonight we're going to play for you a little clip from each one of our shows. Now, I'm going to take a little sabbatical over the holidays and come back to you January 7th with a whole new season of Dr. Zoe Today. I love all of my naughty ones, so stay tuned for season 2. Bonnie Gale, Sex, Butter, and Orgasms.
I was with somebody when I was like 35 years old who all of a sudden I didn't realize I was having this, but what it was, I thought I was urinating. And what it really was, it was a G-spot orgasm. And oh my God, I was spraying and I was like, and I was embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. I can't even tell you.
Derek Gittimer, Dating and Single Life in Your 20s.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of these days, the whole YOLO phase has really taken over our generation.
You had to say YOLO on my
show. I had to.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
It wouldn't be the show without it.
Gizzy, Relationship Deal Breakers.
I remember a time where, you know, the girl wanted to be expressive with me, and she wanted to lick my butt, and I let her. You know, I am a man.
Nico Howard, Dating in L.A., and Other Various Topics.
I just want to give a general disclaimer. I take no responsibility for anything I say on this show. So I was going to come in with a stage name. Zoe cautioned against it. But for the record, all the thoughts that I portray are not of my own. Okay. They're actually of my friend Emmanuel De La Tour.
So, okay, excellent.
Gizzy's back again, and this time we're talking about freaky or just plain old perverted.
Have you ever peed on anyone?
No, I never. I never peed on anyone. No.
Did anyone ever pee on you?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, it,
I'm done. I'm done. Come on, Gizzy, give it to me. Come on, the listeners, they want to know.
I mean, you know, they didn't exactly pee, they kind of shit on me. Well, you know, that was the turn on, too.
They what? They shit on you? Oh, my gosh. Okay, this got more interesting than what I had anticipated.
Hattie Retro Age, Confessions of America's Top Cougar.
I don't even like to use the word fake orgasm. I really don't. I like, if you're not getting it in one place, express it in another. Who the hell cares? You know, and by the way, instead of telling yourself you're faking it, really do it. And guess what? It can turn you on. Start with the sound. Start with the moan. Start with the movement. Get it going. And instead of saying, I'm faking, say, I'm kind of enjoying. In fact, I'm getting turned on. So don't put yourself down. You know, yes. Get to it. The sounds that you make, they're real. Make them real. And they may be remembered real. Like, oh. You know, they may be remembered real, but
come on, Hattie, give me more, Hattie.
Oh, yes.
Perfect.
I want what she's having.
Well,
and
everyone,
by the way,
yes.
That's not a fake orgasm. It's a replay of what I recall orgasms are, and it may not feel quite as good, but I like this.
All right.
Dan, Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man.
How important do you feel that the size of a man's penis is?
I'd say if it's above 4.5 and below 9, it doesn't matter. Like, that's a perfect range. And sometimes if it's too small, you have trouble reaching and stimulating certain areas, and then that's an actual problem. And on the other side, it could be a problem for the man because he might feel self-conscious. Then the other side is anything over 9 is you're just showing off. That's what it is.
You're just showing off. It's all your fault that you were born that way. It's
all your fault that you were born with a gigantic dick.
Laura Korn, 101 Nights of Great Sex Guru.
So let's pretend I just sent it to you, Dr. Zoe, and I'm actually a lucky guy, and I'm actually getting to bang you, because that's what I would like to do.
Okay.
I would grow a penis and have a relationship with you right now.
I mean, if you grew a penis, I'd probably be with you, Laura. I mean, seriously.
I have a very little penis. I don't know if it would satisfy you.
Brian Cheatham, Chippendale's Exotic Seduction.
So when you get a new dancer, right?
Yeah.
So when you get a new dancer, what are some of the things you find are the greatest challenges that you have to help them overcome?
Dancing.
Dancing. The choreography.
Doing the choreography, because the thing about the Chippendales, the thing about our guys, is most of them haven't grown up performing on stage. Most of these guys are athletes, ex-football players and basketball players, and guys that, like, didn't maybe, you know, maybe they got hurt and they didn't make it to the big leagues or something happened. These are guys, most of the guys when you see on stage are not guys that have been in shows. So they're good looking and they've got a good body. Now I've got to teach them how to perform and how to be sexy.
Justin Jedlicka, Authentic Plastic, the Human Ken Doll.
Some people go overboard. I have one friend who has a 13 by 16 inch penis. So
holy
it all depends what you're trying to achieve.
Wait, what? 13 by 16?
13 around by 16 long when he's erect,
Oh, my God.
He actually did it himself, and he did a series of silicone injections. I also think he did all his own body and tattoos while he was in jail. But
Jesse Baring, Perv, the sexual deviant in all of us.
Brett, I'm married to a very classy, beautiful, successful woman for almost 10 years. About a month ago, one of her friends brought up something in a conversation that I had no idea of. There is an easily accessible video from the mid-90s of my wife having sex with a donkey. I know it was a long time ago, but I'm more upset about this than I would be if she was cheating on me our entire relationship. I cannot let it go. I guess I'm asking for a voice of reason.
Well,
okay, I say dump the bitch. Every time you have sex with her, all you're going to see in your mind is donkey dick. So there's no way you're going to, if you even said in the question you can't let it go, then you need to move on, I say. But, you know, let's see what Jesse says.
I don't know. I mean, to me, again, it sort of comes down to the question of harm. You know, actually, I spent some time in the book talking about bestiality. It wasn't easy for me.
Which book?
And Perv. And,
okay.
It wasn't easy for me because I personally find it really aversive and off-putting and you know, I hesitate to say disgusting, but I kind of do. But from a logical sort of rationalist perspective, I also understand that you have to look at the situation on a case-by-case basis. And if, you know, what she's doing with that donkey is not inherently hurting that donkey and could, in fact, be interpreted as bringing it pleasure, then, you know, then it becomes more of just sort of a social stigma in terms of her having sex with another species.
So, Brett, every time you talk to her, just, like, get in bed, and while you're fucking, just be like, hey, was the fun getting that donkey off? Not. I don't think that's going to work. I understand from your point of view.
There are plenty of men, you know, that I guess are turned on by those sort of things.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Brett, I say let her find somebody that is turned on by the fact that she's been with a donkey.
I think I probably would agree just for example.
Donnell Rawlings, Save a Bitch.
So who did you think was going to be cool but was an asshole?
I want asshole's a tough word when I
dickhead.
Explain this. But no, when I explain this, I was at a club in Miami one night and I was having a good time, right? And I'm around a lot of celebrities. I don't really get too starstruck unless it's somebody that I grew up watching and I admire. Mm-hmm. But I was in a club one night and I was having fun. I was with my girl, whatever. We VIP, we popping bottles, we doing whatever you do in Miami. And this tall dark guy walked past and I was like, oh shit! I looked up, it was Michael Jordan. Right, and I was so look. Listen to you. All I said was his name. You said, "That is so wrong." But I'm gonna be totally honest. You know,
That's a nice tall dark chocolate
look,
bar.
I'll be honest. Chocolate.
That's like the ultimate chocolate bar right there. Okay,
but
go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I will say this, and not that you know, I'm not attached to my sexuality. But when I did see Joy for a second, I was like, "Damn!"
Yes,
I don't care who you are.
Did you get a woody? Did you get a sandalwood?
Now you're exaggerating.
You know you got a little hard. You know
no, but I was. My forehead started to sweat a little bit.
Oh,
that's Michael
shit.
Jordan. Come on.
Okay.
I thought because there's a lot of celebrities out here, a lot of names out here that are really fascinated and enjoyed the Chappelle Show, and this got me with some conversation with some like big names,
mm-hmm.
and I thought when I saw Jordan, he would possibly be a fan of Chappelle Show. So I went up to him, and I did every catchphrase I ever did on Chappelle Show. I said, hit me 2 times. I'm rich, bitch! Right? And the last thing you want to do is look Michael Jordan in his face and say, I'm rich, bitch. That's Michael Jordan. And I could tell he didn't vocally say it, but his eyes looked like, I'm richer, bitch. And I think he went and plucked one of his cigar ashes on the top of my bald head.
Oh, shit.
So I won't say that...
Is that bullshit?
No, that's a true story.
He asked on you for real.
He asked on you.
You were even more ashy that night, weren't you?
Brandon Robinson, behind the scenes of journalism.
So you covered the president twice. When was the first time?
First time was in April. And he was speaking at Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network convention. He's the keynote speaker.
Nice.
And, you know, after I went to see him speak, I came home and I was talking like Obama. I was like, to my grandmother, I said, Grandma, that is the fundamental difference between the left and the right.
Ooh, you sound like him too.
yes, Dr. Zoe, I sound like him. Because, you know, I came from Chicago. And Michelle, go get me some water. So that is the...
Oh, snap. Michelle, go get me some water. Uh-oh. You might get in trouble
I'm going to stop right there. Okay. But,
John Gabris, comedy's exhibitionist.
Mike, I'm a senior in high school, and I have a really hot calculus teacher. She's always bending over my desk so I can see her cleavage and picking up stuff off the floor to show me her ass. She winks at me in the halls, and she always licks her lips when she talks to me. To be totally honest, I want to fuck the shit out of her. So my question is it wrong to have sex with your teacher? I am 18. What do you say?
What was this dude's name, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike. Welcome to the club of dudes who want to fuck their teachers. The population of that club is every single dude that ever went to school.
The question is, should he fuck her or not? He's 18, so I think what it is, Mike, is that you feel like because you're 18 years old, it's okay. But it's really not appropriate, but because you're 18, I guess it's not illegal. She probably would get in trouble.
I bet it's illegal by, like, school standards.
Right,
why
exactly.
Don't you just say, if you're 18 and still in high school, that means ideally you're in your last year.
Yeah.
Just wait until you graduate and then hit her up. Just so you know, women don't always bend over your desk just to show you cleavage. It might be to help you learn. She doesn't bend over your ass. She might be just picking stuff up, and you might be sexualizing her. It's not her fault for being attractive.
He said that she winks at him in the hall and licks her lips when she talks to him, though.
Okay, that's a lot. And I wonder how... Yeah, hey, that's fucking awesome. Just beat off until graduation, okay?
Dr. Tabison Mir exclusive. Dr. Mir from Bravo TV's The Singles Project.
When you showed up... on the Today Show set, and they revealed the two guys that they picked for you.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed?
I was so disappointed. Imagine.
Yeah. I was disappointed for you when I saw them. I was like, what? Yeah.
I just couldn't believe what was happening. You know, like, I go to every restaurant. I've gone to nightclubs. I've gone to bars. I've gone to events. And I don't get, you know, don't always meet a good, you know, nice quality guy. You get on the Today Show. You got Kathy Lee and Hoda pulling for you. You're thinking, you know, there's got to be somebody out there that they have some pull to pull in, but I don't know. I think that the casting part of this is a lot more difficult than I anticipated it would be, like bringing in of the dates.
Right.
Because it takes a lot of guts to be able to get on television and date on television. And I think that was really a limiting factor. A lot of guys were very eligible, wanted to, but they just couldn't get them on.
I can only
chalk it up to that because, I mean, for God's sake, it's Kathy Lee and Hoda. You know?
I know. I was like, what are they thinking? These guys are, like, so not even in her. You know, they were nowhere near in your league as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so I would never do that to you, baby.
Thank you.
Big Daddy Kane, the life, the legend, the Kane.
So how can you tell us about the story? How much do you remember about losing your virginity?
I remember thinking something was wrong can I speak like that?
Oh, this is 18 and up. For everybody listening, this show is 18 and up. It's mature audience only. We have no FCC regulations because it's aired via an app, and I'm so thankful for how much the show has grown and all of our listeners. And you can say fuck, pussy, cock, whatever you want, baby.
Gotcha. No, when I came, I thought something was wrong because, you know, I had never done nothing like that. I don't think I've really seen a porno to, you know, see that that's natural and supposed to happen.
So but you didn't masturbate before you lost your virginity? You never played with yourself and masturbated before you lost your virginity?
I don't think so.
So the first time you ejaculate is when you lost your virginity and you thought something was wrong. Like, dang, what's coming out of me? Like that kind of thing?
Exactly.
Breonna Perry, hip hop's princess.
So later on, you get signed to Missy Elliott's label. How old were you and how did that come about?
I think I was about maybe like 10 years old.
Damn.
Or 11 years old. Yeah, probably like 11
years old.
I thought you were
like 12. You were even younger than that?
I think I was like 11, about to be 12. Because I was on tour for about like 2 or 3 years.
All right, so
and
how did that
was,
come about? Just knowing people in the industry or what?
Katrina, she had knew about me. And then she kind of just started following everything that I had going on. Like I was performing all over, like, South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have all my dancers, and, like, my show was put together. I used to bring the band out and all this. So she would, like, come out to a few of the shows, and Trina took me with her to BET's Rap City, The Basement, and actually made Best of the Booth with Big Tigger. And then he talked about me in, like, XXL magazine and all of that. So I guess she was just like, okay. Because she, you know, she studied. She just doesn't see something once and like, okay, I like it. I want to sign it. So she had been, you know, following me. But just that time period, it was just so, I felt like it was so key to my career. Like, I learned so much.
JT Fox, sex, money, and power.
You know, my parents never really believed in me. I mean, a lot of people said, well, you know, you're lucky and you know, you must have supportive parents. And I think my parents have never once told me they were proud of me except 3 weeks ago. I got a random email and my dad said to me, he saw me with Al Pacino and Sylvester Stallone and he said he was proud of me. So Arnold Schwarzenegger, he wasn't proud. He wasn't proud of Jack Welch. He wasn't proud of all the businesses I owned. He was proud. So thank you, Sylvester and Al Pacino, because now my dad is proud of me.
Madison Messina, Australia's number one porn star.
John writes in, and he put, do porn stars have a number? Like, in America, we have a number of how many people we've slept with. If so, what's yours, Madison?
Oh.
That's like a big thing here in the U.S.
I really don't know the number because I joined the sex industry when I was 18 years old, and I kept a record of all my partners, so I've only ever been able to calculate how many I think it's possible, and I've ended up around the 12,000 mark.
Wow.
There's, you know, 12,000. Way for me to know for sure.
Thomas Beattie, up close and personal with the pregnant man.
Just being honest, the worst thing was the LGBT community not supporting me, and they still don't support me for the most part. That's the worst part of all of this.
That surprises me. And I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know if it's politics or what. They thought that the world wasn't ready for this. Like, they wanted the world to be introduced to Trans 101 instead of 601, you know? And
say that again. That was so good. They wanted the world to be introduced to Trans 101, not 601. That's hot. But you know what,
yeah.
You know what that means? That means you're light years ahead of everybody else.
Brooklyn Ja, celebrity choreographer.
I met Lindsay Lohan. It was a funny story. I was walking in Millennium, and Lindsay was she just kept following her eyes kept following me. So when I went in, I told my personal assistant, I said, I think she's like checking me out or whatever. She's like, no, you're tripping. It's Lindsay Lohan. She's not checking you out. So I was like, watch, let's go back out. So we walk out, and her eyes follow me to the car. So I'm like, I told you she's looking at me. He's like, you're right, she is. So we walk back, and her, you know, her PR calls me over, and she's like, Lindsay is just trying to figure out where she know you from.
And I was like, it's funny when you use the assistant to do the pickup line.
Right.
You know, like, my assistant is my right hand, but I don't think I'm that bad. I might. No. I take that. I do have her give out my business card to random. No. I don't know. I'm pretty good about that. Okay. So, all right. So she sends the PR person over to talk to you and says, Lindsay recognizes you. Okay.
Yeah. No. Lindsay was sitting right next to her.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Right. So I'm standing there and I'm like, And she's like, Lindsay's trying to figure out where she know you from. If, like, you guys partied together or you guys did this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I think we hung out at a club one day and we partied. We're the same VIP section, blah, blah, blah. And Lindsay goes, that's it. That's where I know you from. You know, we exchanged numbers and blah, blah, blah. I lost your number. That's the reason why I haven't contacted you. Give me your number again. And I remember, and I, you know, I was wondering why you didn't call me. I just played it up.
Oh my gosh.
Candace Smith, beautifully brilliant with Millionaire Matchmakers, Candace Smith.
One word to describe some of the guests. Now, some of these guests were on To Be Matched, and some were just guests on the show. So I'm going to just name off a few. I want one word from you to describe them. Okay.
To describe their personality?
As a whole, their personality, that's fine. Their personality, that's fine.
Okay.
Describe them as a person, as a whole. Okay, here we go. All right. The late Anna Nicole Smith's baby daddy, Larry Birkhead.
Timid.
Perez Hilton.
Cautious.
Shaz of Sunset, is it Reza or Reza? Reza.
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 Bomb.
Okay. TLC's Chili.
Boring.
Really? I love her. All right. Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina Lohan.
Sporadic.
Okay. Okay. Real Housewives of New York, Jill Zarin.
Wow.
Romeo Miller, Little Romeo.
Cocky.
TMZ's Max Hodges.
One word? Dirty.
Yes.
What did you say, nerdy?
Dirty.
Oh, dirty. Okay. Real Housewives of Atlanta, Kenya Moore.
Queen.
And USFC fighter Luke Rockhold. I'm just kidding on that one.
That's it!
Dr. Tabitha Neer, Hot Docs on Skin and Sex.
Dr. Neer, in your professional opinion, what has Kylie done to her lips?
Filler. She's absolutely 100% in my professional opinion. Filler done. There's no question about it. It's not lip liner. It's filler. It's an absolute filler. Something injectable, something she's put in there.
Okay, so this seems to be a trend with a lot of celebrities having cosmetic procedures or plastic surgery done and not admitting to it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that's ultimately pretty interesting for me as a physician is, you know, I know even amongst my patients, everybody knows somebody, but that person won't admit it. It's very interesting how people like to keep it a secret and they are ashamed to admit it. And I don't know who they think they're kidding. It's like, if you just are honest about it, you could have a dialogue as opposed to being phony and fake and pretending that it's natural. Lips don't grow.
Right. Okay.
John Gabrus is back. Love, bud, and pop culture.
Amanda writes in, I'm 22 and my boyfriend is 24. I've always count the amount of condoms my boyfriend has left after we have sex. And for the past couple weeks, there's been some missing. But the weirder thing is, I found poppers where he keeps his condoms. I know poppers are primarily used in gay sex. Could it be that he's having sex with another guy? Do you know what poppers are?
Yeah, I know what poppers are. And poppers are used primarily for gay sex, but they are. So, you know, they affect your head, too. So some people do them recreationally. But I would say if you're keeping track of condoms, that means you have some questions about this dude.
Right.
And if he's going through condoms more so than when you have sex, that's something to find out. Though, he could be lending them to people. He could be...
okay, go ahead.
He could be smuggling poppers onto airplanes, in which case he'll have to put the poppers into condoms, and then the poppers to get his butthole open up enough to get the condom full of poppers in. It's a vicious cycle.
Angelo Garcia, sexy singing sensation.
How old were you when you were in the band?
I signed my contract at 10, and a week later it was my 11th birthday, and then I was in the band for 3 years. I recorded 3 albums with the band. 2 of them with Ricky Martin, because Ricky Martin was in the band as well.
Now, Angelo, I know that it was an amazing time for you, but you also went through some tough, even violating experiences while you were in the band as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was actually even before the band. Let's start before. You know what? Life teaches you lessons and you go through things.
Right.
And it's so cliche what I'm about to say, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Amen.
And one of the things that I went through in life, I was sexually molested from the age that I was probably about 8 until I was 14. Mm. And it was when I was 8, it was from a neighbor. When I was in Menudo, it was no one in the administration of Menudo. But it was someone that was close to the administration.
Okay.
So I was sexually molested by someone there. And then when I got out of Menudo, it was a teacher.
Breaking the silence. Your stories of sexual abuse.
Especially
so I want to let all of my soldiers know, and all of the people that, you know, called in and that were brave enough to share their stories, how thankful we are that you were brave enough to shine a light on something that's so, you know, secretive and so, you know, difficult for people to share, such as sexual abuse.
Yes, many people called in and they started crying, so they had to hang up. Many people were not able to call, so they wrote in their stories. And for those of you who wrote your stories, we have my girl Shorty tonight who will be reading those stories. So without further ado, Angelo and I present your stories.
on Breaking the Silence.
Aggie, Instagram's favorite Jersey girl.
Okay, so the fuck being famous is more like, well, I got hacked twice. It was already twice within a month.
Damn.
My page got hacked. Yeah, so the first time, these dudes were just like, let me get a shout out on Twitter. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you don't want no money or whatever? Okay, cool, whatever. So I went ahead, I shouted him out. He gave me my Instagram right back. Like, it was nothing. I was like, okay, whatever, fucking weirdo. So, like, a couple days later.
Oh, my God. So this guy hacked you and then said he wanted a shout out on Twitter to give you back
yes.
your Instagram? That
yes,
is so
bitch.
Fucking
I was
crazy.
So, I was fucking heated.
That is
I'm
fucking
like,
crazy. But wait, like, your shit is mostly on Instagram. Like, you got a good following on Twitter, but it ain't shit compared to your Instagram. Like, I'm just being real. Like, my Instagram is shit. Like, my Twitter's a little bit more popping. So, you know, I mean, we all have our, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, what was that all about? That's crazy.
That's why it ain't make no sense. So I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I'll let it rock. Then, like, a couple days later, my iCloud got hacked. Girl, I be sending news and all that. Like, I'll start a shit and break. I'm like, oh, I'm fucked. Like, he's going to see all my shit. But nothing ever happened. Like, he never threatened me with nudes or nothing. So I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Maybe he just wanted to fucking see him for himself, be spoiled. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? Oh, so then, like, what was that thing? Like, 4 days ago, I got hacked again. And these motherfuckers was like, well, we want $400 or you got to write our Twitter name on your forehead and post the picture.
Oh.
I'm like, yo, y'all fucking dudes is weird. Like, y'all some corns. Like, write his
for
name on my forehead. $400?
Like, how hard up are you? Like, seriously,
exactly.
$400? Like that's going to change your fucking life? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
I'm like,
you know,
fuck these dudes. I'm like, fuck them. I hit up Instagram. And they wanted, oh, my God. So they wanted a selfie. They're like, okay, we need a selfie of you, and we need you to hold up a piece of paper with this number on it so we could verify it's you. I was like, okay, whatever. So I go ahead and I write it, but I had just woke up, so I'm looking a little hurt, you know. And sure enough, I take the selfie. They reply like, we can't verify that's you. I was like, damn.
Are you kidding me?
I don't even look like the same shorty in the picture. Like, what the fuck? I was so pissed off. So I went ahead, I had to do my makeup, I had to do my little wing eyeliner, make my eyebrows all sleek, and then they verified this. Okay, we know that's you now. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
oh my gosh.
It.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Gave it back, and then that was it.
Justin Jedlicka, the Caitlyn Jenner heir.
Hey, Anthony wrote in and put, what is the craziest thing Justin has ever done sexually?
Ooh, I don't know if I can answer that. I don't know what other people's idea of crazy is.
You
I mean,
know you're
about...
on Dr. Zoe today, so these questions are going to come in. Real, raw, relevant information about love, sex, and relationships.
I'm kind of a person who does get validated a lot through sexual attention, and I will say I get bored easily when it comes to sex. I'm great at emotional monogamy, but sexually I enjoy variety, and so I mean that can come in the form of groups. I'm also typically a little bit more on the submissive side of things. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm actually a big fanatic of, I don't know if anybody ever watches a lot of, like, Asian porn, but bukkake is kind of, like, one of my favorite things, to be honest. I think that's
okay,
so
and you
weird.
Have to explain what that is, because people do
oh,
not
God.
Know.
We can't
come
Google.
On.
Okay, bukkake is where there's, like, one sub in the middle, and there's, like, multitudes of people around. Well, wait, I'll just go back to how it started. It started as sort of in Asia, it was a punishment. When women used to commit infidelity on their marriage, as a punishment, they would be put into the center
yes.
of the village, and all of the other men would have to come out, and they would ejaculate on the woman as a form of public humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, all the rest of us
kind of like stoning, the woman, but this was their way. Go ahead. I love this. Go ahead. Explain.
Correct. So as a form of
humiliation, when a woman would commit adultery, they would put her in the center. And let's get this straight. Men would jerk off on her, and they would, you know, ejaculate on her to make her feel like, you know, whatever. But go ahead.
Degraded and publicly humiliated,
yes.
right? So, I mean,
in a way, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily even the humiliation portion as much as it is that I'm a big attention whore.
Exactly.
And I, like, I want everyone's attention.
Maya Jordan, redefining relationships.
Basically, I got into a situation with this girl who I was quite attracted to initially. And then she
so you met her that
bit,
night, or you met her that night, or you were anywhere?
No, I knew her previously.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
We had hooked
okay.
up prior to that night, and
okay.
she brought her partner, and then I brought mine, and then we brought a fifth wheel, who was my really good friend, and female. And so basically, the one girl that I had hooked up with previously got jealous of the new girl. And
oh boy.
Went off in a huff. And
that's when you know
your
pussy's
with
good.
Her.
Oh.
Would play with us. And so we just made a creative sort of orgy, just apropos of nothing, where we just piled like groups. I mean, there were literally like 10 people just naked. You couldn't tell whether it was a knee or a pussy or an ass. I mean,
it was just like,
that's everybody's just like, piled on these mattresses in the middle of the sex club, and we had this huge audience of people just watching us. And so the whole point of that night was to use this double dildo. You know, that was the whole orchestration of the night, was to get this double dildo on, because I had never used one and this other girl had never used one. And wouldn't you know it, the double dildo didn't end up out of its packaging. We didn't even use it because everybody was so hell-bent on making this other girl squirt.
Keith Webb, the real magic, life as a male stripper.
You know, a lot of guys get the wrong misconception about male reveal. A lot of people think like, oh, it's about the guys and it's about them getting as big as possible. And it's talking about, oh, which girl they're going to fuck tonight. And like, it's not about that. To me, when I'm on stage, my job is to make every girl in the audience feel sexy and feel wanted.
Right.
And there's nothing sexier than a confident woman. I love a confident woman, and that's our job. Our job is,
amen.
You know,
yeah.
I'm supposed to dance on the woman who's been married for 30 years, who hasn't touched her husband in years, and my job is to make her feel sexy and make her feel horny. I want her to get horny, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so horny. Like, I want to get fucked tonight. My man's gonna get it tonight. Or I want to dance on the woman who's a widower. Yeah, you're a widow, and like, she doesn't have her husband anymore. She hasn't touched a man in years. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm going to come over that wheelchair and I'm going to make her touch my body. And, you know, that's my job is just to make women feel more confident and more sexy about
right.
who they are.
Donnell Rawlings lands his biggest role.
So go ahead and tell all of our listeners, what is the new biggest role of your life that you landed?
Well, you know, people can say you've seen him on HBO's The Wire, you've seen him on Spider-Man 2, you've seen him on Chappelle's Show, but soon you're going to see me in a delivery room or coming out of a hospital because I'm expecting my first child, which is a boy. His name is Austin, and I'm so excited about it.
Congratulations! I'm so excited for you. I think everybody is dying to see this baby.
I think I'm more excited because throughout the Chappelle Show, throughout Geico, I call everybody's son. I accidentally called my dad's son the other day. So it was kind of the weird thing when I first found out that I was having a boy. I was texting my friends like, yo, son, I'm having a son, son. Nobody thought that I was having a kid. They thought I was just using my thug life slang on them. But I'm excited. And like, I've done a lot of things in my life. I've done a lot of things, some good things. I've done some naughty things. But I can honestly say that like, when people say that this is a life-changing
experience, right?
A life-changing experience, a life-changing event. And I mean, I'm like 11 days away from my due date. But
your questions answered with Shorty with the 40.
All right, we got Mike. How do I tell my wife that it turns me on to think about her being with other men?
Okay, like, this is common. It's not that uncommon. A lot of guys talk about this and write this in. And I think, again, communication. If you think she's going to totally freak about it, I would be really careful on how you tell her. Is it just playtime fantasy you want to talk dirty about it in bed, or do you actually want her to do it? That's a big part of it. You know, if you're married to this woman and she's your wife, you should know, like, what her comfort levels are. I would, you know, if this is going to really turn you on, I would first talk about it gently. I'd bring it up gently in bed. If she's an open person, then go for it. You know your wife better than anyone. So, you know, you have to figure out what's the best way to bring it up. Again, like, this is a big thing with guys. They like thinking about their women being fucked by someone else. And for us women, it's really difficult for us to wrap our head around that, because a lot of, like, for women, a lot of times sexual connection is more emotional. So it's like, why would you want to see me with somebody else? But sometimes there's a lot of guys, and I would venture to say, like, 50% or more, it really turns them on thinking about their woman, like, just watching them be fucked. And it's not necessarily bad, ladies. It's that he considers you an object of desire. So it, psychology-wise, it's not a bad thing. It's just hard for us to understand as women, I think. What do you think, Shirley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I think men want to know that their girl is desired. I just say be careful giving out too many hall passes, or she just might end up on the right hall. And, you know, the other dude's dick game, you might not get a back.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes. Hell yeah.
We gon' party like it's sugar. We gon' sip the card like it's sugar. And you know,
it's
not your birthday. You'll find me in the club.
Shorty hit it right that time.
Yeah, I mean, if it's right, she gone. Like, I mean, kids and all, she'll be like, listen, you gave me the hall pass. It's fine, baby. I'm just going to go spend the weekend with him. And
yeah,
you're gonna
I got
be
that
stuck at
good
home.
D. No. I got that good
yeah.
D. Right, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And
so, Mike, you might.
Jerking
off,
thinking, oh, shit, she's getting fucked by another dude. And I promise you, your dick won't be hard thinking about it that time.
EB, Erin Wright, Eazy-E's daughter, sets the record straight.
Okay. You honestly, like, I know you and your mom and your sister are working on a documentary about your dad. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes truth that you guys are privy to that people don't know about. Obviously, you're his daughter. You know what I'm saying? So I want to ask you personally, do you feel like Suge Knight had any direct effect on your father's death?
No, they keep that interview he did, I think it was on Jimmy Kimmel. You know, that was many years ago, and, you know, I don't know why it even just resurfaced recently, and that's kind of been going around. So
yeah.
A lot of people, you know, have been talking about that, but, no, you know, and in that interview, you know, he doesn't say he did it. He was really just implying that something did happen, or, you know, that things like that were happening in the world, like it was going on. You know, it was a possibility that it happened to my dad. It wasn't anything him going on there saying, you know, I did this, I did that. So
right.
Yeah, people, I don't know, people kind of took that old interview and just been kind of running with it. And, you know, and I think that's because, you know, the movie is so huge, and then he has all this drama going on. You know, he's in jail for murder and all these other things. So it's like it's something that like came back.
Well, Sugar's always had drama around him.
J. Leon Love on Women, Fights, and Faith.
Everybody wants to know, and you can say anything you want, but I want you to set this story straight here. Everybody wants to know what happened, what went down with you and Blac Chyna. I mean, you know, straight up, there's some stories out there that say you guys never had sex because you were honoring a religious holiday and or you were focusing on a fight. And then there's other stories out there that say she was throwing shade at you for being a quote-unquote fake freak. So that would suggest that you did have sex. So you can say whatever you want, but I want you to set the story straight. What's up? What happened?
I got you. Well, me and Chai, cool as hell. I mean, you know, that's my homegirl. Like,
yeah,
no shade ever.
Girl.
So a lot of shade that people think she's being thrown at me is not at
it's
me.
It's the media.
You
know,
what
it's
mean?
The fans
so,
and the media.
Yeah, so a lot of things that people think is toward me isn't toward me. I mean, you know, we hit each other up all the time. You know, we just friends. I think we were just crushing a lot. You know what I mean? That's what it was, you know? So that's what it was. We never was physical. No, we wasn't. And yes, because I was honoring a holiday that's very important to my life and to a lot of Muslims around. So,
right.
And from there, you know, we just kept a friendship, you know?
How did you guys meet?
Yo, I just met her Memorial Day weekend. I had met her Memorial Day weekend here in Vegas, and I was
so
like, yo.
In May. That wasn't even that long ago. So
yeah,
like
no,
in
it
May.
Wasn't long. It wasn't long.
Right, so you guys are at the same
her.
Party or what?
No, we you know I linked out. We both reached out to people that we knew, and we just met up, and we met each other, took a couple pictures, made a couple videos, and that's how it went. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
so that
people,
one infamous Instagram video where you're like, Doc Chan, I just met you today, but you dope.
Yeah.
So that was like the first day you met Memorial Day.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Like,
gotcha.
You know, I didn't know her. Of course, you know, like, you know, we would do the internet thing as far as like, I'll write something under her picture or she'd do something like that. Something sneaky, something fun, whatever.
So you guys were crushing a lot. You say you were crushing a lot, so you were attracted to each other.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I mean, she is a beautiful girl. I think she's a lot more prettier without all that stuff on, but yeah.
And then you guys were kind of like dating for like what?
Never.
3-4 months?
We were never dating. That's the thing.
Okay, got
never
you.
We were never dating. It was always a friendship.
Okay, all my naughty ones. So you can go to the Dr. Zoe Today app and you can listen to all of these shows in the archives or go to drzoetoday.com. Meanwhile, we are going to set up an awesome season 2 for all of you. Stay tuned to your connection for pop sexuality.